You're listening to The Cube Show on demand. Get loud.
I really don't understand your question. I don't know if I can't hear or you guys can't talk in the mic or whatever.
Get crazy.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Get nuts.
Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah, it's gone.
It's The Cube Show.
It's that all-born radio.
I'm a good person.
Man, y'all take it easy down there on the off, baby.
God wants us to win the world championship.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing the wrong things.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Hey, legitimate question, though.
Okay.
I'm drunk right now.
Wow.
Another one!
I?
And now, Cole Kublick.
He is bad Auburn man.
Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. Appreciate you guys tuning in. As we do each and every morning here on the show, we like to bring in our good friend,
Conrad Thompson.
Good morning, Conrad. How you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys? How are you?
Doing well. Week two, Fresno State, not much of a challenge for Alabama, but what are your thoughts of Brian Daboll as the OC so far?
I mean, you know, I think it's probably too early for everybody to get hot and bothered one way or another, but I mean, I'm pleased, but it still feels like Nick Saban football. I mean, I can't really tell that big of a difference so far. I mean, obviously there's a different guy calling the plays, but I don't know that I've seen enough to know that I can say, oh, things are much different. How about you?
Not a ton. The run game is very similar. The thing I'm most surprised about is just how reliant they are on the quick game through the air. And I think some of that is just you're still waiting for your quarterback to develop and maybe not as confident as some people believe that they should be in his ability to go down the field with the football. And I think you got a pretty good run on your hand as well. So, they worked the backup in, which is good. I think they want to see what he's capable of. I don't think he's a real challenge to take over the number one job. You look at Jalen Hurts, I mean, he's the only quarterback to ever rush for 100 yards that for a Nick Saban coach football team. He's done it now five times, first to go for 150. So, I mean, it's just another testament of Nick Saban sort of morphing and changing with the times. And even if it's something that he's not a big proponent of, if he believes it gives his team a chance to win games, then he's going to do it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And, I'm looking forward to seeing what the season holds. But it's funny because I feel like even my Bama hater friends are coming around and saying, y'all aren't going to lose a game this year. What do you think this shakes out the rest of the year for Alabama?
Well, they're going to be tested, but it's just not going to be until later in the year.
Right.
I mean, the schedule really does play out nicely for them. Vanderbilt actually looks better, but we don't really believe that that's going to be a real test, even in Nashville. The Ole Miss offense might be able to cause some problems, but they're not going to stop Alabama. And Texas A&M now, I mean, they put Jake Kubenek in at quarterback. They struggled with Nichols. Arkansas goes down to TCU. They still can't protect their quarterback. They've got offensive line problems and an offensive identity issue still. And we don't know much about Tennessee yet, but I don't expect that to be a problem in Tuscaloosa. Then a week off, and I think their two biggest challenges are LSU and Mississippi State, and they've got them back-to-back, November 4th and 11th. So the schedule definitely plays out well for what Alabama needs to do to get to the playoff.
Do you think Georgia has the smooth sailing that a lot of Bulldog fans think there's going to be from here on out? No, I don't.
This is what we refer to as, I think you've heard me say this before, we're going to get it again this week, is a perception game, power of perception game. Because of the logo that they played, the history, the tradition, how many people just love that program. They're going to get a lot more credit for beating Notre Dame than they probably should. It's going to happen with USC again this week when USC beats a very average pedestrian Texas team. And because they've got that orange logo on that white helmet, people are going to go bananas and say, oh, they're back, and USC is a power, and how great they are. It's just a – it is a perception win. Now, is it a nice win? Yeah, of course it is. They went to South Bend, Indiana, and they won a football game. That's always great. But I don't think that that all of a sudden perches Georgia into the top five or makes them the clear-cut winner in the SEC East. They still have a lot of work to do. They got Mississippi State at home. I think that's a more difficult game than people realize. And they got some teams like Missouri still going to be able to score points no matter what. No matter what happens, Missouri can score points. South Carolina is going to be able to score points no matter what. And then that Georgia Tech game at the end of the year, if they have the same kind of struggles that Tennessee did, stopping the triple option, that could be a tricky game. But we have completely forgotten some of the ugly losses year one for Kirby Smart. I mean, he lost to Georgia Tech. He lost to Vanderbilt. He lost some ugly games last year, and I just don't think that beating a 4-8 team from a year ago in Notre Dame that doesn't have a lot of dynamic playmakers all of a sudden leads me to believe, oh, the East is decided, and they're going to challenge Bama and Atlanta. I'm not there yet.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you'd like to be where you're skipping your next two house payments, call 425-0105. First Family is open and ready to hook your family up with a boatload of savings. We know how to save you more money in more ways. How's this for starters? No payments until December. And come December, you're going to have a better mortgage. Specifically, I'm talking to you if you're in a 30-year loan or you've got credit card debt. What we're able to do is routinely help people get a greater tax deduction. It's important to remember that the interest you pay on your house is tax deductible. The interest you pay on those credit cards is not only a higher rate, but it's also not tax deductible. So you get the benefit of a better rate and a greater tax deduction, but at the same time, we cut years off of your loan. You see, you're used to making those credit card payments. So when those payments go away, what if we applied some of that money back towards the principal of your house and in the process saved you $80,000, $90,000, $100,000? We can make it happen right now on your ride to work at 425-0105.
Hey, you asked. I didn't mean to steal your segment there, so I apologize for that.
I'm glad we did. People paid attention, and now they're saving money on their mortgage all the time.
Look forward to talking to you tomorrow, Conrad.
Thanks, guys.
Go to 1FMC.com for help with your mortgage at 1FMC.com. So I asked you about the Auburn offense, play calling. As a guy who watched the TV copy, somebody
twice.
Who's followed this program, you know.
Live in the state, sure.
You know the internal issues. You know what people have said coming into the season, mm-hmm. leaving the season. Just from that perspective, Gus Malzahn, Chip Lindsey, play calling, back and forth. What did you leave the Clemson game thinking?
That the play calling was uninspired, that it was bland. Even though they did take 8 or 9 shots down the field, they didn't seem like that they were quality shots. You know, we always come up with these new verbiage like 50-50 balls, lattice games, blah, blah, blah. I just didn't think they took quality shots down the field. And they took a bunch of them. You know, they took enough shots down the field, or at least had enough plays also to set up down the field where, you know, this Auburn team should have been able to have had more success throwing the ball than they did. Now, there's a lot of blame for this performance to go all the way around for Auburn. I'd like to first, if I can, give credit where credit's due real quick to Jarrett Stidham. Did not force the ball. Did not avoided turnovers.
He protected the football.
Knew how close that game could be, probably, and also didn't want to be the guy that was throwing the ball ill-advisedly. To possibly cost his team possessions or points. But that being said, when you have that first drive end up the way it did, talking about a 3rd and 14 and convert for 23 yards to Kyle Davis and get inside the 2-yard line to the 1-yard line and have it a 3rd and goal, and you can't, because you already go for it on 4th down and you get it earlier on 4th and 1. And you get to 4th and goal. I don't know why you don't just do everything you can to sneak it, to hammer it in with Cam Petway, to get a touchdown there. Because I thought it was smart and very savvy by Auburn to go for it on 4th and goal, especially since they used a timeout. Then they used another timeout, and then I think they got to delay a game. I don't know why that offense looks so poor in the red zone itself, because you get that, plus you get a turnover a couple possessions later inside the red zone. And all of a sudden, if you're able to put two touchdowns on the board, call the game's completely different. But it was, from the second quarter on, it was completely uninspired, bland play calling with a little bit of, let's say, a sprinkling of deep threats to try to quell some people. They tried to open the game. It's just those passing plays were very uninspired.
The I don't hear many people saying that maybe some of that play calling, kind of going along with what you said about Stidham, protecting the football and not being the guy that wanted to make big mistakes, and you credit him for that, and maybe it was to a fault at times. Actually, it was to a fault at times, but maybe some of that play calling was because of that, because of the direction of the game, that it seemed like a similar game to last year, that it wasn't going to be one that opened up. It wasn't going to be one that saw a lot of yards. It wasn't going to be a track meet style football game. Now, does that excuse it? It's especially at certain points in the game, no, but maybe that was part of the intention going in, that if our defense plays as well as we think they will, we don't want to play high risk.
Yeah. They did not play in the high-risk football, but you didn't have to play high risk. I just would have liked to have seen at that point in a game where Auburn could have desperately used a big play. And think about at the end, there's a handful of minutes to go. Auburn doesn't allow the punt to go behind them, and they actually return it for about 15 yards, gets it near midfield, and you're thinking, this may be the spark Auburn needs. Not the case. You're talking about a team that gets sacked late in that game on first, second, and third down. 11 sacks in that game, and I thought minimum 7 and maybe more. Of those sacks, Jarrett Stidham could have avoided by throwing the ball away. Like the fourth down play call where they were in Clemson territory where Jarrett Stidham was stacked, I don't think he could have really avoided that. Like Jarrett Stidham's not
that
kind of speed.
There were a couple that just tackles were beaten one-on-one right away, and there's nothing you could do.
But there was at least 7 I counted that he could have thrown the ball away. And I think this game has offensive coordinator issues as far as the play calling. I think it has quarterback issues with poorly thrown balls.
Who do you think is calling plays?
Oh, I made it clear week one. I think Gus Malzahn's still in charge of this offense. Now, is he calling every single play? Probably not, but I do think he's heavily involved.
And do you think that's part of the problem?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think people are onto this. It's pretty clear people are on to this Gus Malzahn offense.
Yeah.
Maybe. And you bring in Chip Lindsey, who gives you more of a dynamic passing attack down the field as far as the way he calls games, would be great if that's the actual result you saw. But I don't know if what you're looking at with Gus Malzahn is really any different than what we knew it was going to be hard. And maybe he is. It's going to be almost impossible for him to get off the game plan side of it where he's trying to develop a game plan for a game. I think we're really more worried about what happens on Saturday. Sure. I think Chip Lindsey's calling most of those plays. But I think Gus is right in there at times when he feels like he needs to, which feels like a lot.
866-485-9867. If you'd like to get into the show, or you can tweet in at Cube Show. Best way to be a part. Let's get to 10 after tweets now. We bring them to you 10 after every hour, 6 to 10 a.m., brought to you by our friends at 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets!
Dan Strickland tweets in a solid tweet at Cube Show. Kind of lost in the shuffle. Ole Miss facing the Committee on Infractions today.
That's true. That is true. The Infractions Committee meeting goes on today.
B-Ran tweets in at Cube Show, can we get a new cup? That one cost me some at Dreamland BBQ and at Brody Joe 12, a at Hover Helmets.
Oh, the cup's fine. It's an ump cup. It's fine. Cole's willing to put his fingers in it.
B. Curtis tweets at Cube Show, okay, I got to start this over. At Cube Show, just didn't get not using Cam Martin and his speed for more outside runs. Petway not as effective as a single back. I don't think it had really much to do with the running backs as it did a lack of diversity in run calls.
But I do agree that if you the staple of any good offense is what you're talking about, is diversity, is being able to do multiple things. And Auburn was a one-note wonder in that game. And if Auburn was ever going to throw it, they were going to throw it deep. And Jarrett Stidham, if he didn't feel like it was a wide-open pass, he was going to check it down. or get sacked.
Jason Thomas tweets in, at Arizona underscore J, at Cube Show, Auburn's offense only works when you have a mobile QB, i.e. Brandon Marshall. It's Gus's own offense. He should know that.
Brandon Marshall was low-key one of the greatest quarterbacks Auburn's had. I think he means Nick Marshall. Although Brandon Marshall...
Brandon.
Okay, I'm trying to think if he means Brandon, then it's still not right. But if he means Nick Marshall, then yeah. But even with that offense...
See Chris Todd.
Even with that... Well, yeah, but also with that offense, Nick Marshall went 8-5 in that offense also. I mean, granted, they went to the national championship game before that, but the year after, they went 8-5. That, although part of that's on the defense, giving up 55 points to Alabama. But you scored 44. So that offense is more dynamic with someone who can run the ball. Sean White can't run the ball consistently effectively. By the way, me seeing people on Twitter longing for the days of Sean White, really disconcerting. Gotta be if you're an Auburn fan, if you're at that point, you're starting to beg for the days of Sean White.
Bama B. Rich tweets in at Cube Show, I thought Cole said the Hog of the Week contest went to the top two rushing teams combined total.
No, never said that.
Top two rushing teams combined total.
No, never said that.
Oh, as in the top two SEC teams in what? The total? No.
That would be so dumb. Everybody else got it. Everybody else was able to figure it out. Had two winners to pick the...
No, he tweets back in, basically thought we had to pick two teams looking for clarification. No, you just give us the SEC team that you believe is going to rush for the most yardage each week. So you have a chance to do it again Wednesday. We pick two winners. So we'll select two people if they choose that team, which none did this week. So your two winners are both first, second place winners, if that makes any sense, which it doesn't.
Bill Cole tweets, Cole, what letter grade would you give Auburn's O-line versus Clemson? Cole hasn't graded. Cole may not grade it, but I'll tell you, A+.
I mean, at least a D, D minus. I mean, I saw a couple guys do some different things.
So it could be an A.
I think Austin Golson did a couple nice things. Braden Smith did a few nice things. Mike Horton had a couple nice blocks in the run game. Here was the problem with the slants that Clemson was running. They really forced the Auburn offensive line to have trouble getting off on double teams. And that's why I thought some of the outside stuff would really work. So what you have is, if you can picture this in your brain, so you have four down linemen, two defensive ends, two defensive tackles. Pretend you're facing the defense. You're playing offensive line. So they would slant to the right, and then those linebackers would fill or flow or jump gaps to the left. You can imagine, if you run an outside zone to the right with their slants, there's going to be a cutback lane. Or if you get one reach block, all of a sudden it's sealed. Where's the second level of the defense? They're jumping gaps to the left. Or flip it around. If you run a zone scheme to the left and they're slanting right, which that gives you the best chance of getting beat because somebody's going to slant inside one of your blocks. But if you did get a hat on a hat there, and those linebackers are jumping the gaps and coming down to the line of scrimmage on the edge, all of a sudden you got it sealed to the outside easy. You only need one, two blocks in an outside zone scheme against a team that's slanting and jumping gaps. But Venables mixed it up. I mean, they two-gapped a little bit inside. They slanted some. They played it straight up. You saw a bear front. Really, it was a Navajo front, which is like a bear with two four-eyes. So the two D-tackles, it's a nose guard and then two D-tackles on the four out of the tackles, so lined up on the inside shade of the offensive tackles. I mean, he played a lot of fronts. They did a lot of things up front. I thought he had a nice plan. But I also don't think Auburn had enough installed to properly attack said plan. So there's a lot to it.
So it was a mess. The game plan, the game itself, the play itself was a bit of a mess. The only thing that wasn't a mess was the way the defense played. I mean, that defense caused turnovers and gave them a chance to win the game, and the offense just couldn't take advantage. I mean, think about it. Auburn dominated that first quarter. A lot more plays, a lot more yards, a lot more time of possession, And then the rest of the way, their offense was zero.
B-Rich tweets, Cole, did you have an issue? Sorry about the confusion with the Dreamland thing also. Did you have an issue with Auburn's clock management on the first red zone trip?
The one where they used two timeouts?
I mean, you never want to see somebody burn two timeouts early.
Yeah.
You want to get it right, but...
I would not have had an issue if Auburn had scored a touchdown that drive.
Fair.
Because Auburn...
You trade two timeouts for a touchdown on the road like that, I would say.
Auburn needed to start that game with the momentum, and they had it. And they just couldn't get the ball into the end zone. It just... Plus, getting a delay
I need
game,
to go... Well, I need, yeah, I need
everything
to,
just trash.
I need to go back and look at the looks that they had as far as when they called those timeouts and see, going back now, if it made good sense to not run what potentially was called into those. We'll ask Ben Leard his thoughts. Former Auburn quarterback joins us next. John Parker Wilson, former Bama quarterback at 8:40. Cube Show, early Monday morning quarterback, begins next. Cube Show, Sports Radio 730, 103.9 The Ump. Let's go to our Monday morning quarterback, beginning now with former Auburn QB Ben Leard. Good morning, Ben. How you doing?
I'm good, Cole. How are you, buddy?
Doing well. We had a question earlier about Auburn's clock management on their first trip into the red zone. What were your thoughts on how that was handled?
It looked as if it was the first time under duress, you know, in a tight situation that Stidham had been in a few years. You know, and I don't know. I think Coach Lindsay has made the comment that they purposely took the delay of game on the fourth and goal because they knew they were going to kick a field goal. I mean, it was that's kind of an easy out. You don't know whether or not they truly intended on running that play or trying to truly go forward on fourth down to get that. To get the ball in the end zone, but it looked a little bit unorganized, a little bit disarray. It wasn't something that looked extremely polished.
Ben Leard, former Auburn quarterback, joining us. The game plan overall for Auburn versus Clemson. What were your thoughts?
Defensively, I thought it was phenomenal. Special teams, as always, I think Auburn stepped up to the plate and played well. Offensively, it was just disappointing. There were times that they seemed as if they got away from plays of success. It looked to me like they got away from the running game too quickly. They basically abandoned it. Did not do some things in the passing game versus a really, really good Clemson defense that I thought could have been executed and could have allowed them to find some success and drive the football down the field. Put more pressure on the defensive front and the linebackers of Clemson and really take away their ability to just pin their ears back, which is what they were doing to get the 11 sacks. Now, mind you, we are talking about Auburn's offense and their deficiencies and how poorly they played or how poorly a game that was called or whatever you would say. But at the same time, Cole, I mean, we also need to realize that Clemson's got a phenomenal defense. I mean, they're if they aren't the best in the country, especially in the front seven, they're one of the top three. But you know, you compound that with how good Clemson's defense is, and then you add on how poorly Auburn's offense played, you're going to score 6 points and only have a little over 100 yards of total offense and give up 11 sacks. So, It was a disappointing offensive night for Auburn, that is for sure.
Ben Leard with us, former Auburn quarterback. From a route perspective, based on what you saw coverage-wise from Clemson, don't take away the sacks, take away the pressures, just from Jarrett Stidham's perspective, with what you saw, routes versus coverage, what do you feel could have, should have been done differently?
Well, and it's really and truly, Cole, and looking at the TV copy, you don't get a good view or a good vision of the development of the routes or exactly what routes are being run. You know, you typically only see you're looking at the tight copy of the box while the quarterback's dropping in the pocket. You don't see the safeties in the corners, you know, with regards to how the play develops in the defensive secondary. But it was obvious in length of time that Jared Stidham had to hold the football while the routes developed. You could tell they were too far downfield. Either that, or the receivers just were not getting separation and were not getting open. Now, I find it more hard to believe that the receivers weren't getting separation or weren't getting open, because the era of passing that we're in today is it doesn't matter if a receiver is or isn't open. When you're 6'4", 6'5", you know, when you're a big receiver like Nate Craig Myers or Kyle Davis, the quarterback's mentality is to just give you a chance to make a play. Put the ball in your vicinity and you will go get it for them. Whereas, you know, that's something that has evolved in the passing game over the last handful of years. Quarterbacks are a whole lot more mindful of an attempt to get a pass interference call as well. So the fact of them not getting separation, to me, is not a valid excuse. It's not something that I think we can rely on. I would have liked to have seen a lot more in the quick game, a lot more in the out of the crossing game, the fade game, things that would have allowed Jarrett to get rid of the football, take pressure off the offensive line, take pressure off the quarterback, and allow your receivers to do what they are supposed to do, get open quickly and make plays. And against a defense that is as aggressive as Clemson is, you need to do things that allow your receivers to continue to run. You know, run through the box. Run beyond the linebackers. Don't have to run, you know, corner routes that rely on the receiver's ability to find that gap between the safety and the corner versus its cover two scheme or something along those lines that are more zone oriented. But crossers, fades, goes, sticks, things like that would have allowed Auburn to get rid of the football. That would have minimized the pressure that was on Jared Stidham, and hopefully would have been able to capitalize on, you know, some superiority that Auburn's receivers had versus Clemson's DBs.
Visiting with Ben Leard, former Auburn quarterback, you mentioned crossers, fades, things like that. That would be to attack man coverage, I'm assuming. This one thing that I saw was a lot of man coverage and then just nothing really available.
Yeah, it is, Cole. I mean, that's the staple against man coverage is the crossing philosophy. When you either we used to call them drives or crossers. You know, your crossers are going to be guys that come across line or come across the face of the quarterback at about 6 to 8 yards depth. But the development of that route is you've got your crosser, you've got a deeper dig behind him at about 12 to 15 yards. You've got a fade or a go route built into that scenario, and then you potentially have some type of curl or a deeper comeback as one of your final options other than your check down to your running back. So the key is if you have a guy on your hip, if you have a defender on your hip, you are to run him through the entire box of the defensive front seven. Get him through the linebacker, get him through the safeties. Because if you stop, you're essentially covering up another offensive football player that is running through there as well. And it's up to the quarterback to make an accurate throw, because most times the number one area that an offensive player, that a receiver gets separation, is his ability at the break and his ability to sustain movement through his entire route, a la a crosser, to come across there, use his speed to make separation as opposed to his agility on a break.
Ben Leard joining us, former Auburn quarterback, Cube Show Monday morning quarterback. Each Monday he'll be with us. Go back to Monday, preparation for this game, top to bottom, whatever you saw, your biggest concern with the Auburn offense moving forward?
Is the one, I think it's Jarrett's comfort And I don't say that trying to being negative against him, because the kid can play. I mean, he's going to win a lot of football against Charlton. And we don't need a jet ship on anybody, any of them now. The biggest concern is his ability to identify a couple of things. One, when to get rid of the football. When to not take a negative play while attempting to make a big play. Throw the football away. Live to play another down. Don't put yourself in a bad situation. That's a big thing. That comes with the development and maturity of a quarterback just taking snaps. That's just game snaps, learning what to do and when to do it. And the other portion of it is we've got to find some accuracy in the deep passing game. And that's something they just have not had up until this point. They have not made many attempts down the field. And even though they've made attempts, those balls have not been truly a threat to be caught. And I think that's a big concern for them offensively, is you've got all these weapons that you can stretch the field with, but you're not utilizing them. And when you do make the call, it's one that's not even close to having its ability to be called.
Who do you think's calling plays?
Oh, I knew you'd ask me this. And watching the TV, it does not look as if Chip is calling the play.
Is that a concern for you?
Yeah, it's a concern. It's a huge concern. If Chip's not calling the plays and Gus is calling the plays, you can expect more of the same. Why do you bring Chip Lindsey, who is an A-plus offensive coordinator? I think it was a great hire for Auburn to get him back to the Plains, get him away from Arizona State, somebody that is familiar with what's going on, understands how to make plays, and understands how to call plays in the right moment, and develop guys. But why bring him here and truly not give him the one and only key to the offense? Don't overtake him in the heat of the moment and remove his ability to call plays. Now, I have no idea truly who is calling the plays. It just looks from a vantage point. I think you would agree. It looks as if Gus is still making the decisions on the offensive side of the ball. And I truly hope that's not the case. I hope that Chip caught every single play on Saturday versus Clemson, good, bad, or indifferent. And it's just a situation where he had a bad game as well. And it's one that, as a new offensive coordinator in the SEC, he can use that to grow on, and those same mistakes won't be made again.
Great stuff, Ben. Look forward to catching up next week.
You got it, Cube. Have a good week, buddy. War Eagle.
War Eagle. Former Auburn quarterback Ben Lear is with us every Monday. Cube Show Monday Morning Quarterback continues with former Bama QB John Parker Wilson next. All right, welcome back in Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Amp. John Parker Wilson joins us every Monday morning as a part of Cube Show Monday Morning Quarterback. John Parker, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you doing, bud?
Doing well. Two games in now. Your overall thoughts of the Brian Daboll offense at Alabama?
I think it's trending in the right direction. I mean, I think this week was exactly what the coaches wanted. You couldn't ask for a lot more, going out scoring 41 points, throwing the ball. Jalen 14 of 18, so made some good decisions with the ball, got some chance to, drop back and throw it a little bit more. And I think, 11 different guys catching the ball is great. We're spreading it around a little bit, threw it to guys besides the name Calvin Ridley, which is great. Get Cam Sims some touches, Robert Foster some touches. And now we've got one more week against Colorado State to go out there and tune it up before we start SEC's play. So I think the offense is trending upward, which is good, and really like what Daboll's doing. I mean, he hasn't abandoned everything that's made it successful the past few years. especially last year with Jalen, it just looks like he's building on, you know, the base that Lane built, which was a good base, and now he's just sprinkling in more down-the-field passes.
You look at, too, John Parker Wilson with this former Alabama quarterback. Jalen Hurts is a runner. It doesn't appear as though they're going to get away from this. They realize it's a strength, and will continue to utilize that. Is that how you view one of his primary roles moving forward?
Yeah, 100%. And now even more so this year, where you've got a legitimate qualified backup with Tua back there. So it's not like, I feel like a little last year they were almost a little reserved and letting the reins off Jalen, just because if he got hurt, man, we were in bad shape. And that's the thing that makes him powerful, or our offense powerful, when you have him back there with the ability to throw the ball. And I know Coach Saban loves it, because this is, you don't want to go against guys like Jalen that have the ability to pull it down and hurt you just as bad as with his feet as his arm. Because, you know, look at him this Saturday. He's run all over the place, ran for 154 yards as a quarterback rush. I mean, this is his legs are a weapon, and I love how they're continue to utilize him.
John Parker Wilson joining us. You mentioned sort of spreading the football around. A lot of that through the quick game and through the air. Has it surprised you how much of the passing game has been really quick ball distribution?
No, you know, look, Fresno State this week played off. They played soft. They said, we're not going to let anything over our head. We're not going to get beat 71-10. So let's play soft and not get beat deep. So you got to take what the defense gives you. And I love developing the quick passing game. And I hate to do this to you, Cole, but if you look and see what happened to Auburn and you're trying to take these deep drops and you have no quick passing game and no running game, it just puts stress on your offensive line. And those guys can't sit back and try to block them when the defensive line is rushing full speed. Quick game is quarterback, offensive line's best friend. When you get out of your hand quick, you don't have to worry about if they're blitzing. Get some quick hits, 6 or 7 yards. I mean, we love it if we get a 6-yard pickup on a run. There's nothing wrong with throwing it short underneath. And that's, you know, building confidence. You connect them 14 of 18 if you're Jalen. That's confidence moving forward.
We actually had Ben Leard on before you every Monday, and it's one of the things that he stressed. He said, I would really have liked to have seen more quick throws, more quick ball distribution from that Auburn offense against Clemson. So he was right there with you.
They didn't give themselves a chance. When you're back there and those defensive ends, blood in the water, and they are pinning their ears back and rushing because they know they got to throw when there's, I mean, mixing a screen or something where they kind of get on their heels, and Auburn, you know, the offense just never did that. So I'm sure Jared Stidham's getting some heat this morning, but he didn't get a lot of help in the play calling arena this past Saturday.
John Parker Wilson with us. The run game for Alabama, inconsistent outside of Jalen Hurts. I think some of that you could put on the offensive line, some of that you could put on just the different defensive looks that they were seeing, a little bit of some recognition issues that I still saw. But do you foresee it being an issue moving forward?
No, and you know more than anybody. I mean, you know the offensive line position and break it down better than anybody out there. So, you know, you speak pretty highly of it also. But I just think the offensive line, we've moved some guys around. They usually take the longest to mesh and to gel. And when they do, they're the anchor of the team. But I think it just takes a few games. And Jalen's great because the linebackers are dropping. He sees it and pulls it down and can get a big gain. You know, I think with Bo and Damian back there, our running game will be fine.
And when you look at this team moving forward, if there's an area that you would like to see improved after two games, where would that be?
You know, I think it's got to be linebackers just because of the depth issues now. Getting two guys hurt in the first game against Florida State it's a big deal. You know, your first and second linebacker go down in the same position. Now you've got to move guys around. Guys that have been practicing the will linebacker, the weak linebacker, the whole camp now are moving over to Sam. Now different guys are filling in. I think we got lucky with having Fresno State and Colorado State back-to-back, but I think that's the area where we have to prove is getting those young guys ready to play quick.
John Parker, great stuff, man. Really appreciate the time. Look forward to next week.
You got it, Cole. Talk to you next week.
Let's go to Kevin, wants to join in on the show before we go to break. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
How are you?
All right, good. When SEC Media Days was over with, didn't y'all make predictions on the, well, I call them basically useless predictions because it doesn't really matter, but the offensive line in the SEC, where did you have Auburn ranked?
Second.
Were they not in the top, your top five?
Yes, second in the SEC.
Second in the SEC. Would you put them there now?
After two games, no. Absolutely not. Haven't played up to their expectations. Haven't played up to their ability. Haven't really meshed well together.
And what's the problem? That's it? They hadn't meshed?
Part of it is just a lack of fundamentals. I mean, you look at offensive tackles who are getting their feet together, who are opening their hips up in pass pro, completely getting away from fundamentals and technique. You have guys who are turning defenders loose. I think the center missed a few calls against Clemson. You're turning a blitzer free, trying to go pick up an edge defender when you got a linebacker lined up right over you, and you choose not to pick him up instead and slide protection. Got to know that you take the inside threat first. I think in the double teams, there were some issues that Clemson gave them with slants, but still, guys have coming off on the correct linebacker in doubles or maybe coming off too early and turning a defensive lineman free. So a lot of it's just fundamental work. A lot of it's, I think, the fact that they hadn't worked together a whole bunch. But based on what I knew was returning from a talent perspective and what I had seen a year ago, that's why I had them placed there. I mean, Kentucky was third. Kentucky's down two starting offensive linemen since then, so they hadn't played well either.
I think blocking's
the problem too.
Yeah.
And why is it that Coach Malzahn, after every loss, is we're going to get better at offense? When does that excuse run out? Because every year, at the end of the year, they said they was going to get better after they got blowed out by Oklahoma.
Well, you can't say we'll get too much better on defense because they played pretty much lights out.
No. So
defense was fantastic. They should have won. They could have beaten anybody on defense Saturday night. They could have shut down Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Sam Donaldson, you name it.
Jeez.
Well, I think that's kind of part of his MO, Kevin, that we've heard that.
Thanks,
from
Malzahn. We're up against the break.
Okay. Well, we've heard that from Malzahn multiple times now, that, you know, hey, we're going to get better. I promise we'll get better.
You promise it after the game? I promise you're going to get better. I think that excuse is falling on deaf ears for Auburn fans right now, and probably Auburn administrators as well, and people who make important decisions there.
People making poor decisions?
People making, did I say poor decisions?
Yes.
I would say people making important decisions. I should use some enunciation there. I'll tell you this, though. It can't get much worse, although every time he said it, the offense seems to be getting worse when you look at the stats.
I'll make a bold prediction. I think they bounce back against Mercer this week.